Hello and welcome to the Adventure Games Podcast. My name is Shorsha Dunbar and I'm your host.
Thank you so much for joining us for the latest episode of the Adventure Games Podcast. Latest adventure, we're on an adventure. Every episode is an adventure. I knew I was going to screw that up somehow, but let's keep going. I am joined by two friends of mine, but the first time that these two people have met each other. First of all, Laura Cress, aka Cressup. How are you, Laura?
I'm good, thank you, Shorsha. I'm glad to be back on the podcast.
Yeah, because you've been hobnobbing with the likes of Ron Gilbert, Tim Schafer, Charles Cecil, Tony Warriner, and, you know, you've been hobnobbing with all these superstars, so it's great that you've time for us, back us mere mortals. No, I'm kidding.
To Tony Warriner as well.
That is true. But people should check out, I'm sure they're aware, but if you're not aware of your Twitch, at Cressup, I would highly recommend that people check it out. And also by the nicest guy in the adventure game community, nice by name, nice by nature, Johnny Nice. How many times do you want me to say nice? How are you, Johnny?
I'm fine. Got a little cold coming up, but everything is still okay now. And I'm glad to be back. It means that I didn't do such bad time.
No, it was great having you. It was, Laura, you might have some competition between someone who plays a lot of adventure games because Laura, you were, myself and Thomas were always like, wow, how many games can you get through that you, I think in the first recording, it was a short game, but you literally finished it, I think, for the entire recording. It was an Amanita game, I think.
It was Pilgrims, yeah. Although that was an hour long game, but yeah.
True, but still. But now along comes Johnny and... when I just asked which games would anybody have games? We have like two, maybe three, and Johnny has like five or six full-length games that you have gone through. And it's like, oh, great, there's a choice now. But no, you were fantastic last time, Johnny. And so we're delighted to have you back and delighted that you're back.
Thank you.
So we are going to just get straight to the reviews because we have quite a few. So... Johnny, you have three games. Well, maybe more, but probably three that you have agreed to speak about. So you will be talking about, A Twisted Tale, Chronic to Silencio, and Champy, Deuce's Vampire, in just a bit. And Laura, you'll be talking about Twilight Oracle and Clem, and I will be talking about Murder on the Orient Express. But I'm going to shut up now. First of all, though, Laura, I think it's important that we just spoke about it before recording, and I know you might look terrified. going to do? Where have you been, Laura?
I've been in Scotland.
And I know you have literally threatened to walk off if I
will walk off this podcast if you do a Scottish accent, because it's offensive, Shorsha. It's offensive, and I'm not even Scottish.
And my last name is Scottish, Dunbar. Well, anyway, how was it? Why were you there before I say anything that could ruin our friendship?
I was actually there. It was very cool. I was there to help judge a game jam at the university or the kind of college, University College of Moray in North Scotland. It wasn't just me. There was a couple of other judges as well. I happened to know one of the people that was running it through Twitch, and it was really cool. It was people had 48 hours to come up with a video game or a board game from scratch.
And blimey!
I know, right? And it was to do with the theme Up, Up and Away. And yeah, it was really interesting. I've never really been part of that where it's been, you know, an event. I've played game jam games where they're all available digitally and, you know, you just see the after effect and you play them. But I've never been there while people have been making the stuff and just seeing the panic. But yeah, wow. It was really cool. It was interesting seeing people's ideas grow from the beginning. And I mean, when they were first starting off, we kind of just left them to it. But then coming back and seeing how things changed and you know, sometimes playing the game at the end of being like, what happened to that thing? And they were like, oh yeah, that didn't work. That didn't make it into the thing. We're like, oh, fair enough. But yeah, everyone managed to make something, which is really cool. And some of them were really pretty good, I have to say.
Fantastic. Yeah, no, I can imagine building making either a video game or a board game is stressful enough, but from scratch in 48 hours,
crazy. And to be at an event where people are actually watching you doing that, I mean, I joined the game jam, I think 2 years ago. So we had 2 weeks to make an adventure game from scratch. And the stress was really terrifying. It completely takes over your life. So
They slept. They slept there. They provided sleeping bags for people if they wanted to stay over at the college and just power on through. And they provided loads of drinks and food, and there was like pizza and things like that. So it was quite a nice atmosphere. It was quite. It was quite
okay,
fun.
I
didn't sleep over. I did stay in a hotel.
Yeah, that sounds like my kind of conference, you know, stay in a hotel, maybe
like
some wine. Oh, no, but fantastic. No, but delighted to hear. Is there going to be any video or anything about this?
I put a very short, I did just a little video of some of the finished ones. It was just like a little minute long thing on my Twitter if people want to check out what kind of thing it is. Or if you want to check out, if you check out the UHIMORAY, so UHI Murray, you can see that they'll mention it there as well, I think. Or Murray Games Jam is what it's called. So yeah, check it out.
Okay, well, good to see that Murray is coming from Monkey Island to Inverness for a games jam. Fantastic. Well, hopefully we'll be able to get to go to more things like that, because it's a lot of fun. So, well, anyway, let's get on straight to reviews. And Johnny, one of the many games that you've played in the last month is, I believe it's Champy. At first I called this Chompy, which is what I thought, because it's Champy, the useless vampire. But I thought it would have made more sense to be called Chompy, you know, vampire.
Actually, it does make more sense that way. You're right.
But anyway, so we know that Champy is a useless vampire. Hopefully the game itself isn't useless. So Johnny, tell us about the game and what you thought of it.
I was really looking forward to this one, because it looked very much like a classic cartoony point-and-click adventure game. And in essence, it really is. But I actually finished the entire game in 80 minutes.
What, 80?
80 minutes, exactly.
Wow.
To the second, almost. So, well, yeah, I was a little bit disappointed by that. Now, you can tell that they really love creating this game and telling this story. It was the first adventure game for these guys, these developers, and they're actually better known for creating educational apps for kids. And knowing that, it actually makes sense how Champy, the useless vampire, is built up, because it's obviously more directed to a younger audience instead of a more experienced adventure gamer. And in that regard, I think it's actually rather successful. It does what it sets out to do. But me personally, being a experienced adventurer, I think I can call myself. I've been playing games for over 30 years now. So, well, yeah, it was a bit on the easy side. Well, not a bit, it was very easy. But it is a beautiful game. Cartoony style. It reminded me a lot of Darkestville Castle. And the story is actually quite simple. Champy is the grandson of Dracula. And Dracula has been poisoned by this evil cult, and you have to get him the antidote. Now, for some reason, the antidote is the Holy Grail, which Dracula already owns and is being kept in his vault. But he is too weak to go get it himself. So it's up to you to find a way to open the vault, because of course the keys have been scattered all over the place. And then there is this giant octopus as a final guardian, which you also have to defeat. And yeah, basically that's the game. You have two large areas to explore. That's Dracula's castle and then the nearby village. And you have to go little back and forth between those two locations, each consisting of a number of rooms. It's very, very intuitive. The puzzles, everything makes sense. There's no moon logic or anything. Also no pixel hunting. Every hotspot, every item you can pick up is very obviously present. You can gather all your inventory items, pick everything up before you're actually aware what you're supposed to do with them. So when you then encounter the obstacle that you need the items for, well, then the coin drops very fast, and yeah, you surf through the puzzles very easily. And well, there's not much to the game. So not much else to talk about, I'm afraid. It's very short and very easy. So it's, I think it's a great game. Like if you're a parent and you're looking to get your kids into adventure gaming, I think this might just be the game for that.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking from what you were saying, that it's, you know, if I'm sure a lot of us would want our kids, those of us who have kids would want them to play adventure games. So it sounds like this could be ideal for them, because it, looking at the graphics, they're 2D cartoony graphics. And certainly from the screenshot, it looks beautiful.
Yeah, I was going to say that. It looks really nice.
It is.
Yeah.
You know, it's not that overly childish either. So it's actually, yeah, it looks like a grown-up game. And it's only the difficulty level and the shortness, the length of the game, that makes it very suitable for kids around age 8 to 10, 12 maybe, so that age range.
And do you think it could hold their attention span? Like, does the story move along at a nice pace in the game? Or is it, because a lot of adventure games can be slow-paced by their very nature.
It isn't slow, but the humor is a bit lacking, I find.
Okay.
It tries to be funny, and I had to smile a lot, but really laugh out loud moments, those were missing a bit. So I'm not really sure if that will hold their attention in that way. It's different than, for example, the Looney Tunes or Tom and Jerry cartoons, which I think are a bit of an inspiration for a game like this. But it's very, well, it's more on the cute side than on the daring side.
Okay.
Just say.
Okay, but and is there voice acting? I don't know if you mentioned that.
Yep, there's voice acting. And Champy, the main character, is done well. He has nice voice. I don't really have any remarks there. But the secondary characters, sometimes they weren't all that great. And I often, it sounded to me like they were trying to recite their lines from memory or something. Or yeah, there wasn't enough acting in it. Please
okay.
me.
Okay, well,
Champy was okay, but the other characters not so much.
Okay, well, this is the first game, so and I do like the fact that it is aimed at children, to try and get children, because you know, I mean, this could be another conversation for another day, but a lot of games, you know, they are retro, which I have no problem with generally, but it seems like it just mainly tries to appeal to older people, you know, like us, who grew up playing adventure games in 80s, 90s, early 2000s, but a game where it focuses on trying to get kids to play point-and-click adventure games, however successful, I'm always like, yeah, look, I think that's great. But so if you have kids, this could be worth it. So that's Champy the Useless Vampire from True Ascension, and it is available on Steam, I believe, and a very short game as well. So if you wanted to check out a short game as well, you could. And this is going to be the year of the vampire, because there's also going to be Cabernet, which is set to come out hopefully this year. There is a Vampire Therapist, which looks interesting. Kind of more visual novelty, but still, I think, an adventure game where you play as a therapist to vampires who've seen a lot during the years. And it's from Cyrus Nemati, who's principally a voice actor. He was who did the voices of a couple of characters in the Hades game. And he's a developer as well. So that's coming up. But yeah, so Champion the Useless Vampire on Steam. And Johnny, you wrote a review on Adventure Game Hotspot as well. So I will include a link to that as well. From
it just came out, that review today. So
yeah, I didn't get a chance to read it yet. But
it was actually my 20th review for the Hotspot.
Oh, wow.
Since
wow.
June last year.
That's really good. Congratulations.
Thank you.
So Champy the Useless Vampire. Links will be in the show notes. But thank you, Johnny. So
I still don't know why they call him useless, because he's actually quite creative in the inventory puzzle solution. So I don't really know.
But not completely
why they
useless.
Went with that title. But...
Oh, well, so Champy anyway. Poor Champy. So thank you for that, Johnny. And now, Laura, you played. This is a game that was at AdventureX, which I played as well. Now, I don't know, when I play games at conferences, I'm not very good. There's a lot going on. I get distracted very easily, and especially with puzzles involved, I can't concentrate. So I didn't finish this demo, but you finished this game, I believe.
I did.
Clem, C-L-E-M, and also the way it's spelt is a capital C, capital L, small E, capital M.
Much like Johnny isn't sure why useless is in that title, having even finished the game, I don't understand why it's spelt like that.
Okay, well, over to you, Laura. What is this game about, and what did you think?
So this is a 2D kind of side-scrolling game. You are solving a lot of puzzles in this game. The developers like to call it a Puzzlevania, so a Metroidvania, but with puzzles. And I think that's actually quite a good description of it. So a Metroidvania is normally you've got a big interconnected map and you unlock different bits of the map when you get new abilities and there's a lot of platforming. This doesn't have any platforming. It's all just you walking about as a character, 2D side-scrolling, going from room to room in a big old mansion. But parts of this mansion are all locked off, and as you progress, you do get new abilities. You pick up different toys and abilities to unlock new areas of the house. And the story around all of this is you wake up in the basement of this house. You're a rag doll. You're a mute rag doll. And you wake up and you obviously don't have any idea what's going on. And you hear this voice asking you to bring it something, and it says, "Bring me beauty." And there's this book at your feet, this alchemist book, which when you look in it, it's got all these different abstract things: beauty, hope. And when you look at the thing it's asking you to bring, it explains it kind of correlates it to a different type of insect. So beauty is a butterfly. There's also strength, which I think is a beetle. And there's all these different things it correlates to. And there's five chapters, and each chapter starts with you waking up again in this basement, and this disembodied voice is saying, "Bring me such and such." And in each chapter, that's your main mission. You've got to go throughout the house, unlocking things, doing different puzzles until you find this insect that this voice wants, and you bring it to the voice. And so there's this story that continues working out, you know, what's going on here? Who is this voice? You know, why are you this ragdoll fetching these things for this, whoever this is? It's a child. It's a female child who is asking you to do all these things. And you kind of uncover what's going on in the house. Why is it abandoned? You know, where are the parents? Where is everybody? So that's part of it. And then the other part, like I said, is there's all these puzzles that you get to solve. And there's quite a range. And in comparison to Champy, some of them are quite hard. I'd say most of them are, you know, if you're used to playing adventure games, they're not too bad. There's some inventory puzzles, so there's combining items. There's also extracting an item. That's another option you have in your inventory. But there's also logic puzzles. And again, sometimes you can just brute force those things. Sometimes you've got to just be good and kind of get what you're doing with that. I normally do a bit of both, I'll be honest. But and then there's also you using your abilities as well. So for example, one of the first things you unlock is this magical lens. And if you use that over certain paintings or drawings or notes that you find, you might find a sort of code or a clue or something which might help you. And it's really, you know, I enjoyed the kind of Metroidvania style of it, because I don't know if I've come across that much in an adventure game where, you know, you might come across a puzzle, but you actually can't do anything with that yet. And you might come across an area of the house and you're like, okay, I've got to leave that until later on in the game. And, you know, there'll be things like there's an ability you unlock later on where you can make yourself smaller and then you can tunnel through to a completely new part of the house that you're not able to make. So I thought that was really interesting. I do have to bring up one thing, which I'll be interested to know about your reaction, Shorsha, in that there are no manual saves.
Oh, no,
But this is an interesting one, and I wouldn't normally be too bothered to bring this up, but it does save automatically. But when if you go back to it, you start down in the basement again, waking up, and you have to pick up the book again. So when that first happened, I thought, oh no, does it not save for the whole chapter? I was thinking, what? Have I got to restart this whole chapter? Because some of the chapters, maybe like 45 minutes or something. I was thinking, what? But then I looked at my inventory and I had the item that I'd picked up through at some point in the chapter. So I thought, okay, so it's saving my progress, but then I have to restart at the basement. So it's a bit... It's a bit unusual that. So just watch out if you end up playing that, because that I was like, what? So it does save after you've done any progress. So that's something for you. But that's just a little thing. I enjoyed it. The puzzles for the most part are pretty decent. There's a pretty difficult one where you've got to sync up the time of a light bulb with a firefly flashing. And that was pretty tricky. I had to look up a walkthrough for that. But in the most part, it was all right. It's quite quirky. It's got quite interesting hand-drawn style. It's darker than it looks. I think it looks like it's kind of a bit sort of quirky and cartoonish, but there's some dark twists in the game. So I wouldn't recommend this to children, I think, but it's not like it's very dark or gory or anything. It's just, there are some bits where I was like, oh, I didn't think it was going to go that way. But it, you know, in a mature way, it's not, you know, bloody or gory or anything like that. So yeah, I think it took me about four and a half hours to complete. It might take some people quicker, obviously, if they, you know, they're a bit better with logic puzzles and things like that. And I enjoyed it. I thought it was an unusual style game. There's not really much to return to once you've done all of that. The ending is a little bit, you're kind of expecting something like that. So it's not like a huge sort of climax of an ending, but I enjoyed it all the same. And I thought it was quite inventive game. I enjoyed playing it.
Fantastic. Yeah. I mean, the one thing, I haven't played this game. The one thing I promise it will be very quick about the save manual saves. My advice to developers, because what I've noticed is a few of them are kind of like trying to be clever with the save system. And my advice is just don't just make it easy to manually save or to save and quit. And someone wrote into Edge magazine, it wasn't me, but someone said, and in their words, they said, is there ever any good excuse for any game not to have a save and quit option? Because, and John, you can probably, this might probably affect you more so, because what he said was, if you have a child or life, if you're, I don't know, looking after a relative of a parent.
I have a life, Shorsha.
What I mean is that I meant a child. Oh, I'm so sorry. If you have a child, I don't know. My brain is just not working. If you have a child or if you're looking after a relative, yes, I know you have a life, Laura. You've just been to Scotland. there are times when you have to quit the game at very short notice. And it is, for me, it is, and I know it's the first world of first world problems, but it is frustrating having to repeat relatively large sections of the game because you just cannot save and quit, or you cannot save at short notice. So I am glad that it does save your progress. I think that's something, but I think
it's just strange that I don't know why it does that thing.
It just makes things more
awkward.
It's
not really a big deal part of the game. I don't want to make it like a big thing, but like that was just a little thing I noticed. So I was like, oh, that's strange, especially because elsewhere there's loads of little things where I'm like, oh, they've really thought about trying to make this accessible. Because there's bits like if you're wandering around for ages, the voice will give like a little kind of hint as to where you should be going, which is great. And yeah, there's a couple of things like that where I was like, oh, okay, you know, they've really thought about trying to make this open to people and trying to help people. So that was just a bit odd. But yeah, apart from, I think it's just for this, if you enjoy that kind of game, those kind of puzzles. And I think this is a particularly interesting version of that. I think it reminded me a bit of Rusty Lake, actually, that series.
Okay,
maybe not quite as dark as that. It's got like smatterings of darkness, whereas Rusty Lake is full on weird. But there were bits of it where I was like, the sort of puzzles and things you've got to do and interact with things reminded me a little bit of that.
Okay. So that is Clem. Now, as I said, I didn't finish the demo at Adventure X, but I enjoyed what I played. It's definitely... they say very quirky. There's I know you said it's dark, but there was a charm to it I played.
Yeah, oh, it's
definitely different.
Charming.
Yeah, it's definitely different to anything else that I've played. I think that's what the demo had going for it, that, you know, it was memorable that way. But no, I'm glad you enjoyed it. Not too long either, 4.5 hours, as you said. And Puzzlevania for people who would like to get their hands on it. And so that is Clem, which is again available on PC and on Steam. So thank you, Laura. And now we go to a detective game, the first detective game we're going to talk about today. And Johnny, you had a chance to play. And now, just advance note, I'm going to use an accent, but just to name the title, Chronique de Silencieux. John, you can probably pronounce that better than I can, but I interviewed the developers of this game last year. Lovely, lovely guys. I met them at Adventure X, not last year, the year before as well. But they did they did release their game early January, early this year, 2024. So, Johnny, tell us about this game again, and what did you think? And I think you said that you will need some time to explain the detective mechanics of this game. So, over to you.
Well, being from Belgium, my English is probably a lot better than my French. So that's
strange, so you're the
perhaps.
Flemish part.
I'm the Flemish part, yes. Chronique des Silencieux is a detective game, and it's actually quite the opposite from Champy the Useless Vampire. That game was very short and very easy. This one is very long and very hard. So, the story, you play as Eugene Faury, whose mother has sent him to Bordeaux in France to visit his uncle. Now, once he's there, he makes connections with some people in a brothel and a police inspector who asks him to help investigate a case relating with drugs. And that works a bit as a prologue and a large tutorial to make you acquainted with the user interface and the gameplay. Further on, there's this man who teaches the women in the brothel. And he has a secret, and he wants you to use your detective skills to uncover that secret. Because I think he's a bit reserved to actually come forward and tell his life story, perhaps a bit ashamed, because it has to do with the Second World War and the resistance fighters and everything. The story takes place in the 60s and 70s of the previous century. So, it all comes down to finding clues and interrogating people. That's the premise of the game. And it works a bit like you often see in those the detective shows on TV, where they have this huge cardboard wall where they nail all their other clues together and they connect them with the red wires. You have to do exactly that with clues you find in documents spread out throughout the game, which you have to uncover. You have to search all over in drawers, in desks, in cupboards, in coat pockets even. And then you have to interrogate some people, and you have to look for either connections or discrepancies between the two. Now, the problem is you never really know if you're looking for a connection or something that refutes what someone has said. And that makes the game really hard because it's very text heavy. The conversations you have with the characters are very long, and there are loads of documents to find. And instead of pixel hunting, you're actually fact hunting in this game. And it takes so long to find the right connection. This game took me 14 hours to complete, simply because you have to go over all the texts over and over again in a trial and error fashion. And even after you found the connection, sometimes by accident, it's not always clear why it progresses the story. So that's one part of it. And the other part is that sometimes important characters will lock themselves up in their room. And then you have to find reasons why they would do that. You have to uncover their secrets. And that is visually shown in the form of a padlock that's hanging in front of their door. And you have to connect two different characters in that padlock. You have to connect them with specific verb. To give an example, there is one part in the story where the brothel owner locks herself up in a room, and you have to get her out, and you have to make sentences with the verbs and the characters. For instance, that one-armed Hergé, who is a bully in the criminal underworld there, that he threatened Madame Solange, the owner of the brothel. But it also takes so long to come up with the right connection again, and it's all trial and error, and it's makes it a very hard game. And also, the difficulty level is further raised because of the English translation. Because it's originally a French game, and I was able to talk with the developers as well through their Steam forum pages. And they admitted that they had some trouble with their translator. So the original translation was very faulty, with lots of mistakes, spelling mistakes, and even words that don't make any sense. But I was happy to see that while I was playing along, and I was sometimes asking for help on that forum, there would be regular updates to the game. And I could actually see the game improve before my eyes. And the further I got, the better it performed. Translations were starting to get better. And it was also starting to get easier to find the connections, as if they were adding multiple solutions instead of just that one thing that they had designed and the player would have to find. The game doesn't have any voiceovers except for the cutscenes, and then they're only in French. So that might be a bit of a stumble block for English language gamers.
Are there subtitles?
There are subtitles, okay. Yes. So there is lots of text, and I hope that they will succeed in getting all the kinks out of it and having a better translation, and that future players will enjoy it a lot more than I did, because it really has potential, this game. I really loved that mechanic of connecting the facts with that red wire. And there's an amazing story in there. It's almost a novel-length story. They have translated into an interactive game, like I said, with the Second World War, with spies, resistance fighters. The characters are really very well worked out. Each has their own identity and voice and back history and all that. And it's a very, very lively fictional world. And I enjoyed exploring it. And I really enjoyed interrogating characters, because that's something I always loved in adventure games, like in Gabriel Knight, for instance, or Laura Bow, Dagger of Amon-Ra, where you have to you can question everybody about all the topics. It works a bit in the same way, but only with a lot more text to go through and to search for facts that might be lies.
Okay, well, thank you for that, Johnny. Yeah, it's an interesting one, this. The developers told me, or one of them told me, that this was partly autobiographical game, which was based on his grandmother, I believe. I might be misremembering, but I believe after she died and he was going through some of her old stuff and he saw some documents or some things, so he started to make a game about kind of what her life. Though obviously I think they've added a lot to it as well to make it.
Oh, they definitely did their research. That's very obvious.
Yeah, but the story seems very interesting, and I am very happy to hear that they are taking feedback on board, and you know, while you were playing it, they were improving upon the aspects, so hopefully they will get there, that they will make it even better. And I told you before recording, similar thing happened to me when I played Cloudpunk, and I reviewed that game, and one of the issues that I had was the camera angle when I was writing up my review for the website. But then apparently they had changed it. They said, oh, we've released a patch that now the camera angle has been fixed. I'm like, oh, okay, well, guess that's not an issue anymore. So it's great when developers do that, when they take feedback on board and they make changes almost in real time. But
yeah, same here, because it's an isometric game. And at first, you couldn't zoom out in the scenes. Then further on in a next playing session, suddenly you could. So it was very obvious that they changed the settings, so they made that function available.
Nice.
And also fixing lots of graphical glitches, because it was very glitchy at first. But it was, yeah, you could see them filtering that all out while I was playing.
That's good to hear that they are making changes and they are fixing things. Because I mean, if I learned anything from reading Tony Warner's book, is that making games is hard. And he mentioned as well that releasing games, even however much testing you do, there will still probably be bugs on different systems, different computers that you don't find. So it is great that they are fixing them, that they're fixing the glitches, and hopefully it'll be even better. You have it there, Laura. You got it's
a great book.
Oh, it's fantastic. I mean, I'm not a programmer or anything, but a fascinating story. You know, the creation of revolution. Anyway, that's
bye.
So Chronique de Silencieux, it is available on PC and on Steam, and a few things there, but it does sound like they are fixing things, so hopefully by the time this episode comes out and later on, they will continue to work on it. Because I got a good feeling from the guys that seem, they're really nice guys and really kind of, like most people who make adventure games, but that they really did care about taking feedback on board. So that is great to see. So that is available on Steam and on PC. So thank you, Johnny. So now back to Laura for something a bit different. I think, and this game, all three of us have actually played this game. So I think very nature, it could be on our top 10 because of that. We've all played it. But we shall see. What do you think? It is Twilight Oracle from Cosmic Void, who I think we've played, he's well known in the adventure game community. Very nice guy as well. But he released Twilight Oracle early this year as well. So quite an unusual game. But Laura, what did you think? Please tell us a little bit about it. And what are your thoughts on this game?
Yeah, very prolific adventure game maker, Cosmic Void. I think as soon as he released that, he was already advertising.
Oh, he's working another one, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, my goodness me. Fair play.
It'll come out in a couple of months, by the way.
Yeah, crazy. Good. And, they are good quality games. Feel free to jump in, guys, as well, because you've also played it. But yeah, Twilight Oracle, it's a fantasy comedy point and click adventure game, and you play this kind of beach bum character Leo. You've not done very well in magic school, your grades are quite low, but you get a chance to redeem yourself with some other misfits by going to this planet, and you've got to bring back this sort of rebel wizard, and that will help then forget about your bad scores. So that's the kind of premise. And everyone has their own ability. So you can breathe underwater, and then there's other abilities that people have as well. And this is all in a very, very colourful pixel art world. And that's the kind of premise. Obviously, as you go on, you kind of realise that there's a bit more to it than that. I have to say, I found the story a little bit confusing at parts. There was a lot going on and I wasn't quite sure about everything that was happening. But it didn't really matter because I enjoyed playing it. I enjoyed the voice acting in this game, which I thought was quite fun. Leo in particular. I mean, it's quite... A bit over the top sometimes with some of the voice acting, but I think it's kind of supposed to be a little bit like that. So I thought that was quite fun. There's some very interesting areas you go to, this kind of Candy Kingdom area, which is interesting. And you meet all these weird and wonderful characters like this giant rainbow fish that's a bit dumb and is like washed up on the shore, and all these different people that you meet. They're all quite unusual. The puzzles are your kind of normal inventory style puzzles, and were relatively simple. I thought there wasn't anything too much that got me too stuck. And yeah, it's just if you like kind of a traditional point and click adventure game with a bit of a fantasy twist, it's got some solid voice acting. The story isn't, one of the classics. It's not one of the best, but I don't know if that really matters. And I just thought it was pretty enjoyable. What did you guys think?
Don't know, John, if you want to jump
pretty
in.
Pretty much the same, actually. I love the dynamic between the voice actors that just worked. That was great chemistry. Very likable main character, even though he's kind of a scoundrel, you might say.
Agree with that, yeah.
The comedy sometimes is a little bit naff in a kind of in a lovable way, but it is a bit like okay, all right, rather than a bit like not quite laugh out loud, but then in a sort of, it's kind of intentionally a bit naff, I think, as well because of the character. But yeah.
well just on what Johnny was saying with the main character, because one of my concerns going into this game was because a lot of times adventure game protagonists, they're not nice people. I mean, there's Rufus, even Gabriel Knight, and even other characters, even Simon the Sorcerer going back as well, that they're just kind of a little bit obnoxious and sarcastic and snarky. And I thought, oh, this character would be like that. Thankfully, he isn't. He is kind of a rebel. He's kind of like bad scores and he's a beach bum. He's like, hey, but he's likable. And I was glad to see that, that, you know, that the Celtic Void didn't go down the route of let's make him, snarky, sarcastic, obnoxious character, because
he's quite earnest. Yeah.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. He's someone like that you could go for a few beers with. You know, he's not a bad dude. And yeah, going on what you said, Laurie, it's kind of like it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. But on the other hand, it's but on the other hand, I was thinking, I don't know what I'm going to see from screen to screen, and I kind of liked that part that, as you say, there's a big fish just for some reason that is just lying there flapping about, and then you go to there's a candy world, and then.
It's a bit of a fever dream.
Yeah, it does feel like that throughout the entire game. But I like that part of it. The puzzles, as you said, that they didn't... Even I am not good at puzzles usually, but there's nothing too challenging. And I think that is overall a positive for me, at least. There's nothing that is, too illogical. Even though, as you said, the whole game, the whole world is kind of like a fever dream. But the puzzles felt a bit grounded. There was one kind of issue... Towards the game, I think there was one puzzle that you're trying to. A few times when I had issues was when you do have to go back through the screens, and there was one time.
I know what you mean.
And there is a scarf, I think.
Yeah,
that wasn't
that. Yes.
It wasn't there at the beginning or during
that
the game.
That was naughty.
And
I think
then
that
you
was
need
naughty.
You need a scarf, and then you just find it magically there. And then there's another part where you need to find a recipe and different ingredients, and then other characters just happen to have this exact ingredient. Now, again, this is a fantasy world, so I think it just about got away with it. Like that for me, because of the fantasy elements, they're like, okay, yeah, it's not pulling me out completely. But it's, and the voice acting thought overall was good. Ivy Dupler plays one of the characters. She's in Whispers of a Machine, and she's been in Francisco Gonzalez and Dave Gilbert's game. So, she's pretty good. And the main character, I thought, is pretty good as well. And it is very colorful. The game, it's like a lot of colors everywhere, but I quite liked it as well. There wasn't a huge amount of animation that I don't think is necessarily like a negative, but I think compared to other games that, would have more animations, there aren't that many, but it didn't really bother me, but I just thought I'd mention that as well. But I mean, overall, I liked it. I don't think it's going to set the world alight, but I think it's a nice, fun, quick game for people as well. And I think, I think fun. When I think of this game, that I think it's charming as well. I really like the world. It is just crazy that you don't know what you're going to find next. And I am very curious to know, I think his next game is something, again, very different. Devil's Hideout, I believe.
I think I played a demo of that, if that's the one I'm thinking of, or it might be another one because... It's got so many on the go.
but yeah, and like you said, Laura, as well, I would like there to be more to the story, because it's kind of like what you said is pretty much, I mean, there is kind of a twist, but you see it early on. Yeah. I thought it was
very early on. Yeah.
Very early on. Yeah. I mean, I think that sort of sums it up, really. Like it's enjoyable.
Yeah.
It's decent and, enough. It's not going to set the world on fire. But it's a nice enough playthrough, and maybe it just does need that little extra thing, that more like that more animation, that bit more intriguing story, something a bit more to make it to catch on a little bit more. But yeah,
it's fun, it's creative, not much narrative depth, and indeed the animations for me, it were the character portraits I was missing for the secondary, the extra characters. And the puzzles for me were quite easy. Finished the game in 3 hours, I think.
Yeah, I think that was about 3.5.
I was expecting a bit more, because you mentioned, Laura, that they all have their special ability. Actually, you only have to use each of them once.
Yeah,
in the entirety of the game.
That could have been combined a bit more.
I was expecting a little bit more there, and I had a hard time rating this game when I was reviewing it for the Hotspot, because on the one hand I liked it so much, on the other hand I wanted to be so much more, and I had to find this golden middle way in my rating. And I sent in my review to Jack, and I thought, oh no, I'm not giving it enough, it deserves a bit more. Then again, no, because if I give it more than people who are playing it will be disappointed and they would say, oh, you said it was such a great game, but it's this and this and this is missing. So yeah, it's. But I've been talking to the developer, Cosmic Voids, and a bit of brainstorming, you might say, about his next game, Devil's Hideout.
Oh yes, on Discord. I've seen that.
Yes, coming up with some puzzle ideas and stuff like that, and he's also showing works in progress there, screenshots that is of his pixel art that he's working on. And he's such a great guy. Really, he really wants to make great games, tell good stories. I'm also glad to see that each game he really wants to do something different.
Yeah, completely different.
I think we can expect, if only a little more, I don't know, more resources perhaps, or more time. Of course, he wants to bring out his games as fast as possible, because of course selling them will earn him the money to develop his next game. So it's really, I have a feeling he's building up to something, and I think we can expect some very great games in the future.
Yeah, he also released the Tachyderm Dreams. I have not played them, but I've heard good things about them. I think they're available on itch, I would be happy to see another game with these characters, maybe in another world, and maybe even if you played as the other characters with their abilities, I think that could be good. But yeah, no, I would still recommend this. I think it's it would be a 3-star game. I still recommend it.
Yeah.
That it could be more that could have been used to make it better, but still a recommendation, I think. It's still fun, it's still enjoyable overall. And I think we're more or less on the same page, all three of us, about this. So that is Twilight Oracle from the ever-prolific Cosmic Void, and really nice guy as well. He's on Discord, and he's always looking for feedback from people as well, and for ideas and suggestions as well. So you can join that if you so wish. And like Johnny said, you were giving ideas for puzzles as well. So
yeah, I'm giving my ideas away now that I'm thinking
about it. Yeah, you should make your own adventure game.
That's actually the plan. I really enjoy being here in this adventure game community, and can't believe how fast everything has gone in the past year. Meeting all these developers and you guys, of course, and helping out developers with the beta testing and stuff like that. And it's actually all to make some connections and try to go write an adventure game one day. Because actually making one on my own, that's not a possibility, because I can't draw, I can't program, so I can give someone the story and say, here, make the game. that would be fine with me.
Yeah, well,
so look, who knows, sometime in the future, perhaps.
I mean, the good thing is that nowadays you don't need to do it on your own. There are other people who, like you and like me, don't know how to draw, but there are animators, there are, you know, artists who are, you know, happy to work with others as well. So you never know. Looking forward to hearing more about that. Thank you, Laura and Johnny, for that. That is Twilight Oracle. And again, available on PC and on Steam. And so now another game that's just been released. Most of these have been new games, if not all of them so far. Johnny, you played this. Now, I know you have been in contact, you interviewed the developer, which was on the Adventure Game Hotspot, and I believe you did some beta testing. But you played A Twisted Tale Chapter 1 from Voodoo Bembel, and she's been working on this game for quite a while, and I really encourage you to check out your interview. It's a fantastic interview you did as well. And she seems, again, like a lovely person. I know I'm repeating myself, they're all lovely people, but she seems like a really nice, lovely person as well. So you had the chance to play A Twisted Tale. You actually very kindly sent me a code as well, which I will get to it hopefully very soon. But what is this game about, and what did you think? I believe there's probably similarities to Twilight Oracle, that it's fantasy, go to another world. But anyway, I will let you discuss the game. So Johnny, tell us about A Twisted Tale Chapter 1.
Twisted Tale is about this woman, Vio, who works in a cafe, and one day she, while she's cleaning the bar, she finds a sort of a Rubik's Cube left behind by someone. Now, as soon as she picks it up, opens up a portal to another world. And she is sucked into that portal. And when she comes out on the other side, she's totally disoriented, of course. And the portal closes again. And then chapter one of this game is simply her trying to reactivate that portal and get home. The Rubik's Cube is steaming hot when she has arrived in that other world, so she can't pick it up at first. So she decides to go exploring, as most adventure game main characters do. So she winds up in this city floating in the clouds. And she meets a couple of interesting, maybe on the eccentric side, characters. And then suddenly she finds that the cube has been stolen by this antique shop owner. And now she has to persuade him to give it back. And then, of course, to reach that goal, you have to solve a couple of puzzles. And they're actually almost all of them inventory puzzles. And you have to help out all the different characters in that floating town. And then in the end, you get that cube back. And well, then it's the end of chapter one. And the rest of the story, we'll have to wait for that. Because Eva is developing this game step by step. She has worked on this first chapter for several years now. And I am one of her Kickstarter backers. It's from a time when I backed several adventure games, and I stumbled upon this project. And I was actually very charmed by the way she presented her game and the way she talks openly about it in the community. She also has a Discord channel, and she really relies on gamers' feedback. She has a clear story to tell, because the entirety of A Twisted Tale will consist of 7 chapters, and she has it completely worked out. And now she has released this first chapter in order to acquire the necessary funds to build the further chapters. She is heavily influenced by classic adventure games like Broken Sword, like The Curse of Monkey Island. You will find very similar backgrounds and similar music as well in A Twisted Tale. And it's very intentional, because of course Vio will travel through the portals through many different worlds before she gets back home. A bit like that old TV show Sliders. I don't know if you guys remember that one, with Jerry O'Connell.
Yes.
And John Rhys-Davies as well.
I don't think I do, but good idea,
it's
Laura.
from the 90s, I think. And each of that world, each of those worlds, will have links to classic adventure games. I don't know what they will all look like, but it was Eva's idea to make something. Make something overarching with those worlds. So I'm very curious to see how it will all work out in the end.
Okay. Yeah. No. That's. I mean, this has been on my radar. I think it looks beautiful as well. It does remind me of The Curse of Monkey Island with the background, but I think the art in here does look absolutely gorgeous. As well, I haven't played the demo. I think it's interesting what you say, that each world, each chapter will be kind of referencing classic adventure game, because a lot of times, and I know the three of us actually had this conversation on WhatsApp a few weeks ago, that I think, generally speaking, I think if there are a lot of references to classic adventure games, it can take me away from that game. But I don't know. I haven't played this game, as I said, but I don't know if it's intentional, and if each episode or each chapter is kind of referencing, it might work. My concern as well, though, is that does it kind of remind you too much of that game? Mm-hmm. And does it have an identity?
I think it's subtle. It's okay. Subtle enough.
Okay.
Except for that antique shop, which is also the entirety of the demo that takes place in that antique shop, but it's very much a part of chapter one. That antique shop is actually holds very large collection of artifacts from all kinds of adventure games. So you'll have that a little statue from Fate of Atlantis in the foreground. You have Simon the Sorcerer's wizard hat, stuff like that. That's all very intentional because, well, that antique shop owner is a collector, so you could almost say he went to all those fictional worlds and acquired all those items. But I think that the largest part of the game very much stands on its own. I think it's a very good, very unique story, unique setting, and the references are I think they will be subtle enough. Now I've shared on the social media my interview, and I did a playthrough of the game, which I posted on Facebook, because with my backstory being involved with the game, I wasn't allowed to officially review it for the hotspot, but I did post my playthrough, and many people recognized some screenshots from The Curse of Monkey Island. For instance, you have a restaurant which looks very similar to Blondebeard's restaurant there. You have a tattoo shop that looks a lot like the Barbary Coast from Curse of Monkey Island with the barbers. You have the inside of a jukebox, which is very similar to some kind of machine in one of the Broken Sword games. I don't know which one exactly. She has put those things in there. But indeed, very, very intentional, and to actually remind the gamers of all those classics without actually using them as just another cheap reference. And I hope that she will continue doing that with the other chapters, not go over the top with the references. Because of course I've talked to Eva about this as well. I think if she keeps this level of subtleness about it, I think it'll be okay.
Yeah, I guess that would be my thing of, it's great to lay a bit of homage to these things, but also keep it your own game as well. And it sounds like she is doing that with chapter one. And I guess let's hope she can keep doing that. If it sounds like she's got a big project ahead of her, if it's seven chapters, that's very ambitious for...
very ambitious. I didn't even know it were going to be so many chapters.
Yeah.
I thought five tops, but now it's seven. So of course, magic number seven, perhaps.
Yeah. How long does this one chapter take?
Well, since I was a beta tester, I went through the game several times, and I tried to recall my very first playthrough, how long it took me, and I thought it was somewhere around seven hours for me, because the puzzles, they're certainly not easy. You really have to pay attention, often look at things more than once, talk to characters more than once, to get the necessary clues so you can progress.
Okay. Yeah. No.
Not really. Any moon logic. I think in hindsight, it's all does make sense, but the solutions are still not solutions you would think of immediately. So it really takes some time to figure it all out.
Okay, well, she is planning on she's working on chapter 2 now, I believe, that she's hoping. She didn't give any release date, at least in the interview, did she? Or any
No. So she has just started the second chapter. I think we'll probably be in the community see some concept art very soon, I think, because she likes to stream when she's working on it, a bit like Tom Hardwick does with Air of the Dog. So I'm hoping to see something soon of chapter 2.
Great. Now again, she's just released this game, so chapter 1. So again, she's allowed to.
She's an indie developer. She's doing it all on her own. She has written the story. She makes the animations. She draws the backgrounds. She does get some help from another animator for the cutscenes. And another person who provides the music, but everything else is all her.
I think that's fantastic.
That's amazing. I mean, she's also doing it in the evenings and at nights because she still has a day job. So that's why, of course, it takes the time it needs. I think it's awesome. But I couldn't do it.
I really do admire her and developers like her who do so much work, you know, in their spare time, in evenings and weekends as well. And Mick Trevisic, I mean, I said the game looks fantastic, and there's voice acting as well, I believe, isn't there? There's voice acting in the game.
Yes, she has. The game is in two languages, in original German and in English, and she has voice actors for both versions. And it's actually quite amazing because in the for the German version, she actually got the voice actress who also did the German version of the Voodoo Lady in the Monkey Island games.
Wow!
So yeah,
wow.
No, that's fantastic. So no, it's you know, I as I said, I really do admire these developers who are able to do so much themselves. So let's hope for us all. If we put our minds to it, we can maybe make a game someday. But no, that is A Twisted Tale, Chapter 1 from Voodoo Bembel. And as I said, you know, hopefully she can continue. It's definitely very ambitious. And hopefully she can make it to Chapter 7. But Chapter 1 is available now on PC and Steam. And Johnny, it seems like you really enjoyed it. And as I said, it looks fantastic. And I hope to get around to playing it very soon myself as well. But thank you for the review, Johnny. So now the very last game that I played, just finished playing it. It's again different, but it's another detective game, much like Chronique de Silencieux. I had a chance to play Agatha Christie Murder on the Orient Express on my PS5. Now, when I first heard about this game, I'm a huge Agatha Christie fan. I've read all her books. I've watched most, if not all, the David Suchet series and movies. I played the previous Murder on the Orient Express game. It wasn't great. So when I first heard that Microids were making another version of Murder on the Orient Express, my first thought was, do we really need another version of this story? But I played it anyway, and I'm very happy to say that I really, really liked it. I absolutely loved it. So, again, you play as Hercule Poirot, and it is set in the modern day. It's set at the end of December 2023, and you start off in Istanbul, and you meet up your friend Monsieur Bouc, who's the owner of the Orient Express, and you need to get back to London. So he said, come on to the Orient Express. So you go on the Orient Express, and a whole host of characters there. And then the train gets stuck. There is kind of an avalanche ahead, so you need to wait a few days for help. There is a character called Mr. Ratchet who asks Poirot for help. He says that he's in danger, but seems to be a nasty man. Poirot says, I don't like the look of your face, so no, I'm not going to help you. And sure enough, he ends up dead. Who would have thought? He ended up being stabbed in his sleep with multiple stab wounds. It looks like whoever did it was in a frenzy of some sort. So Monsieur Bouc asked Poirot to investigate, since he's the only detective, since he'll only wait for a few days to find out what happened to him. But there are a few changes. First of all, this is set in the present day, but they're celebrating the, I believe, the 117th anniversary of the Orient Express in the game. So the carriages are 1940 style. So it still kind of looks kind of like when the book was released in the 1940s, but there are mobile phones and there are updates as well. But I thought it worked well. There is also a new character that you play as, another detective called Joanna Locke. I don't want to give too much away, but you meet her later on, and then you play as flashbacks involving this character, and this ties into the backstory as well. And as I said, I am usually a purist when it comes to Agatha Christie, but I think it works really well overall. And then when you think you get to the end, there is more. There's another few chapters that you play as both Poirot and Detective Joanna Locke, and I really love the interaction between them. I thought the voice acting was pretty good overall. The actor who played Hercule Poirot, I mean, David Suchet for me is my favorite Poirot, but this guy, and I forget his name, but he's a close second actually. And he's very, very good. The acting, I thought, overall is very good. The actor who plays Joanna Locke is also particularly good as well. And in terms of gameplay, and I know, like Johnny, you were saying about the Chronique du Silencieux, there is a variety as well. The main part is there's a mind map, and then you have to make links as well. It's generally pretty easy. Like, most of it shouldn't be too difficult, but I think it's a good thing because it's very interactive. It's interactive all the way through. So just the age of the character, the nationality, but you are the one finding out all of these things. And I think that's really what makes this game work. There are puzzles you have to interrogate characters, and then there are a few times where you have to catch them out in a lie, the truth, which one is a lie. It's not usually the most difficult, but I really enjoyed it. And then there are logic puzzles as well. They didn't always work for me, the logic puzzles. It was like, why am I moving the boxes? Why am I doing this? But again, I enjoyed it mostly. I really enjoyed them. There was a part with the Russian doll that you have to open. Some of them I did need help with. There is an in-game hint system, which I only figured out how to use towards the end of the game. But overall, it was a lot of fun. And now, again, some of the characters might look a little bit robotic, but again, overall, it looks nice. And I really like, again, what they did with the story. There are, I don't want to give anything away, but there are different locations that, although it's in a trailer, I know, I think the trailer might be a bit spoilery at times. But I was very, very impressed. I think this is definitely the best Agatha Christie game that I have played. They had a few others before, Evil Under the Sun, and then there were none. But this, I thought, was much better than those games. And I'm just playing the other newer Agatha Christie Poirot game, The First Cases. I've just started, but so far, I don't think that's as good. I'll have a full review when I finish that, but I think just a lot worked in this game. It's a really well-made game, and even if you're a fan of Agatha Christie, if you've read the original novel, I still recommend you to play this game. I think it might help you. You might know, kind of, or think you know what's going on or what's happening if you have read the original novel, but then there are some changes, which I know some purists might not like, but I didn't mind, and it really felt like the developers and the writers were fans of Agatha Christie, but not beholden to her, but it really felt like they understood the character Hercule Poirot. They weren't laughing at him like a lot of, or some adaptations do. You can really see that he's a great detective, but has quirks as well, and everything in it as well. And it's a kind of a cozy game. I think it's a game that you could play in the winter months over Christmas as well. It took me 15 hours overall to play, so it's, and again, most of that was continuing. You know, there were times when I was trying to figure out puzzles, but you know, it wasn't times that you're really frustrated. Or there is backtracking, but I never minded it because the train was the light, and then you play with the flashbacks as well. And yeah, this worked for me. I'm delighted to say. I would absolutely highly recommend this. And Johnny, you reviewed it for the Hotspot as well, I believe.
Yep.
Because of course you did.
How could I not review a
you
game
are Belgian
about
yourself.
The most famous Belgian detective? So, yeah.
All you need is a mustache.
Took me 14 hours, but it's just, that's just the length of the story.
Right, yeah.
It's a very elaborate story. It's pretty much follows the book and then adds a couple of chapters, like you say. And I really like this game. It's very accessible as well, because you can't really do anything wrong. Like, for instance, with the Frogwares Sherlock Holmes games, if you make the wrong assumptions there and point the wrong suspects as the one who did it, then later on you will be shown that you failed that case. But here, if you choose the wrong thing, Poirot will automatically say something like, "No, that's not it," and you get another chance to get it right. And so it's really guiding you along through the deduction system, through the puzzles. So you won't be stuck for too long, and you can simply follow the narrative. That was extremely well done, I thought.
Yeah, no, I think, as you say, you can't get it wrong, but it doesn't give you the solution either. You still have to do it yourself. And I think that's what makes this game work, that it's interactive. You are the one making these deductions, finding out these things, whether they're easy, difficult, you are the one. And in the first cases, borrowed first game, which I'm playing, the mind map, I'm finding it a lot more cumbersome, a lot more confusing. And I'm trying to make the links. I'm getting them wrong the whole time. And after three times that I get it wrong, if the two correct clues to link together flash together, so then I can do this. But I don't feel like I'm the one doing it. I don't feel like that clever compared to this game, which I think this is what this game gets right. That, as I said, you are the one making all the deductions, and the writing is great. I mean, it helps that it is based on one of the most famous certain mystery books of all time. But even I really liked the additions that they added, and I didn't think I would. I was concerned going in, but because other times with playing the previous Poirot regular Christie games, I didn't think they got everything right. But in this case, I mean, not everything, but I really, really, really like this game, and it's
such a great location.
Yes,
the train. It's
oh, absolutely. I mean, I love trains.
Such
anyway,
a pleasure to walk through it, and. It wasn't so long ago that I played The Last Express. So
yes,
I was
really
glad
that's
to
another
get
classic
back on the
train game. Yeah, that's
I want
classic.
To play that. I know it's difficult. I played a demo of it, and bloody hell, is it difficult? And I'm guessing
I've never finished it. I'll be honest, I've never finished it, but yeah, it is fun.
I'll probably be playing it first myself, and then maybe with a walkthrough once I've had enough. But yeah, that is Murder on the Orient Express, and it's available everywhere on PC, it's Steam, possibly GOG. I played it on PS5, and I think it's available on Nintendo Switch and Xbox as well. So have we sold it to you, Laura?
Well, I mean, as is my wont, I did play a demo of this at Gamescom.
Of course you did.
It's my famous phrase, I played it at Gamescom.
Of course, you just played it. Sure,
Hashtag played it at Gamescom. I did like that mixture of, I was wondering whether the new technology would feel a bit gimmicky and you know, obviously because it is the present day, but I think it did work. And I did also like... I'm imagining this continues out throughout the whole game that, you know, you'll speak to people and then you've kind of got to remember what they say. There's like a kind of little memory test thing, which is, I guess, supposed to be a bit like, because you're a famous detective and you've got to remember all these things that people have said off the top of your head, and it's kind of testing your ability. But I thought that was quite fun to sort of shake things up a little bit and make it, you know, because sometimes you do zone out when people are just,
exactly.
This, like, long dialogue. So it does make you pay attention. Yeah. I thought that was fun. So yeah, I think I was interested to hear how you'd rate it. because it can be very difficult to get these things right. But it sounds like you both enjoyed it.
In this one, it did. And it was released in 2023. And I think if I had played it in 2023, I think it would be my top three, actually.
Wow.
Again, along with the Star Trek Resurgence and Dreams of the Witches. Dreams of the Witches, I think, would still be my number one. And this would possibly be number two or three. Very close, but I really, really enjoyed it. I would really encourage anyone listening or you to play it as well, especially if you love murder, but even kind of if you don't, because there are puzzles. There's a variety of puzzles as well. But they don't, you know, some of them might, logic puzzles, as I said, might feel a bit like, why am I doing this? But they're still fun. And yeah, then there's the, you know, there's the crime board where you're linking things together. There's a mind map, and yeah, I know it feels very well thought out, and there's more stuff that I don't want to mention for fear of spoilers. But yeah, Agatha Christie, Murder on the Orient Express. So wow, that's a lot of games we got through. And I know, Laura, very, very quickly, you've been playing some classic adventures. you played Second Gabriel Knight, and you're playing Phantasmagoria.
Oh yeah.
Finished them both now, yeah.
Oh, you finished them both. I'm very curious to know what you think, because I just recently finished Phantasmagoria.
Because I'm sure people have heard many reviews of these games, but
tell us about this Gabriel Knight.
Yeah, exactly. I love Gabriel Knight too. I thought it was fantastic. I mean, my God, is it balmy? There's some mad things in that game. The whole opera scene is absolutely bonkers.
It's like crazy. The
extent they go to it, and there are some. I'm hoping to at some point do a little YouTube video about the madness of Gabriel Knight 2, and just how everyone goes on about the cat hair mustache puzzle in Gabriel Knight 3. But there are some nuts puzzles in 2 as well that are really not obscure, but quite unusual and quite mad. But I really enjoyed it. I like Phantasmagoria as well. I think it kind of suffered playing that straight after Gabriel Knight 2, because Gabriel Knight 2 has got so much interaction, whereas Phantasmagoria, you're mainly just wandering on your own around a house. There's some odd little bits with Harriet and her son, which is very odd.
Yeah, that for me, that was the weakest part of the whole game.
Sort of light comical relief of these.
It wasn't funny. It was more cringe. And I was like, what is happening?
It was unusual. But I mean, the last act is fantastic. The last act is, it should have just been all that final act, because all these different choices that you've got to make so quickly and trying to get everything right was like a sort of choose your own adventure style book, but really quickly done. Yeah, I still enjoyed it a lot. I'm definitely going to play Phantasmagoria 2.
Oh, myself as well. I really want to play that.
I've heard that's better. That most people seem to think that's better than the first, and a bit goofier as well, if that's even possible. And I am going to play Gabriel Knight 3. But yeah, I think Gabriel Knight 2 might be one of my favorite adventure games ever. It's just so well done. But
I need to replay it.
You should, because it really does hold up. I mean, it's
That's
ridiculous.
Great. I was going to ask you that. Yeah.
It does hold up. It is ridiculous. And some of the puzzles are just, you wouldn't have them now because they're just, it's just silly. With a walkthrough, I didn't mind.
Well, hopefully there will be a Gabriel Knight 4 at some point with the modern version, you know, without those kind of ridiculous puzzles. But yeah, and have you played Gabriel Knight 3?
No, so I will have to play that. I hear, again, mixed reviews about that one.
I like the story and things about it. But I think gameplay-wise and certainly the graphics are like, oh, wow, even back then, it's like, yeah.
Because that's the thing.
It's like a step back.
It's weird. It's interesting to play each game and how different they are graphically. Because obviously the first is like the original is like a pixel art 2D style. Not 2D, but you know what I mean? It's got that kind of more traditional point-and-click adventure game, pixel art style. And then obviously 2 is the FMV, which is insane. The amount of people they must have had involved in that is crazy. And then 3, like you said, it's 3D. So what would 4 be? Maybe VR?
Yeah, we'll see, hopefully. But we shall see hopefully something might happen. It would be great. Well, look, thank you both for joining me. I know it's been a long time. I was getting a bit late, especially for you, Johnny. But hopefully we'll be back. We'll see who's back next month for a review episode as well. And yeah, we will definitely keep in touch. We'll see what other great games we can play and review on the podcast.
I'm sure Johnny will have reviewed
played
about
six
10.
Or seven.
No doubt.
Well, look, thank you very much, guys, for joining. Thank you, Johnny. Thank you, Lauren. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And we will talk again very soon. And unfortunately, Thomas couldn't make it, so I will say it for him. Keep on questing.
So if you like the Adventure Games podcast, then please subscribe, rate, and review wherever you listen to podcasts. Please leave a review on iTunes if you can, as every review helps, and reviews will help get the word out, especially for adventure game developers who appear on the podcast. Now, you can also follow me on social media. You can follow me on Twitter at AdventGamePod. You can follow me on Facebook at Adventure Games Podcast. You can also follow me on Instagram at Adventure Games Podcast as well. And we're also on Discord at Adventure Games Podcast. So if you are a adventure game developer or a adventure game player, you can follow us there. So again, please feel free to retweet and share podcast episodes and the podcast to people who you believe may enjoy it. And you can also find more information about the podcast on www.adventuregamespodcast.com. So until next time, thank you. Thank you.